Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We seek your face, Lord. We seek your word. We seek your truth. We seek your presence in our lives, Lord. Lord, change the things in us that need to be changed. Renew our spirit. Lord, I just pray that you'd open heaven for us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your words be spoken. Only your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, in the book of Daniel, it says in the last days that men will be going to and fro on the earth. We see that happening, don't we? I don't know how long it will take for, like, the space shuttle to go around the world, but, you know, we can go to any place in the world in, like, a day, less than a day. Also says that there will be an explosion of knowledge in the last days. I was reading the other day that from the year 1 to the year 1500, knowledge doubled. From the year 1500 to the year 1750, knowledge doubled. From the year 1750 to 1900, knowledge doubled. Then it went to, from centuries, it went to decades. Then it went to years. It's not going to be too long before it's going to be months. Knowledge doubling. That's scary, isn't it? Are we learning too much? I don't know. Maybe we're just building our tower higher and higher. That could be too. I don't know. It also says that in the last days, in the book of Daniel, that the enemy will attempt to wear down the saints, or will wear down the saints. It's a gradual thing. He doesn't always just slam us. He does that too, but a lot of times he'll just wear us down. And then he'll slam us. Kind of takes the edge off our sword, doesn't it? Off our faith, off our walk with God. We got to keep that edge sharp. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 4 and 8, 4 through 8, talking about Elijah. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah was discouraged. It happened all at once. He had just fought a major battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. 450 prophets against one with God. But one with God is greater than any other number, isn't it? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He went to the Mount of Horeb. And what was he doing there? What was he really doing there? I think he was looking for God, because all of a sudden maybe it felt like God wasn't with him. And what did God say to him? God said, "Where are you? What are you doing here?" I tend to think that he wasn't supposed to be there. I get that impression when I read it, that that wasn't where God wanted him to be. And when we're not in the will of God, when we're not where He's supposed to be, where we're supposed to be, that's when we open ourselves up to discouragement. Aren't you glad that God is patient with his people? First Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6, talking about David. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Some translations say David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. It means the same thing. Encouragement means to fasten upon, to seize, to strengthen, to be made courageous. Once again, I don't think David was supposed to be where he was supposed to, or wasn't where he was supposed to be. It says when Saul first tried to kill him that he fled and he went to Naioth in Ramah, where Samuel was. And Saul sent men to catch him, to bring him back. Three times. And three times the Lord wouldn't allow it to happen. They came close to where David was, and the Spirit of God just took over them. They ended up prophesying. They couldn't do anything else. God wouldn't let them. Then Saul himself came, and the same thing happened. The Spirit of God wouldn't allow David to be captured. So what does David do after that? He goes back to Jerusalem to talk to Jonathan, Saul's son. He went looking for a worldly solution for a spiritual problem. That's not where he was supposed to be. I think that if he'd have stayed where he was, he'd have been okay. God had already shown him that. But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. God wants us to be strong. He wants to strengthen us. Ephesians 6:10, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, "Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might." His might, not ours, not the world's, His might. In our opening scripture, we read about strength in the inner man. I'm going to read it again. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." What is the inner man? 1 Peter 3:4 talks about the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man is a meek and quiet spirit. When our spirit is meek and quiet, it is hidden. Who's it hidden from? Hidden from the enemy, for one thing, I think. Even though we should have a meek and quiet spirit, God wants us to be filled with power. Power for what? I wrote down 11 things, and this is the order that they came to me, so I didn't change it. First one is power for suffering. Colossians 1:11 says, "Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." See, it's not just power to suffer, but it's power to rejoice while we're suffering. We all do that, don't we? I remember a long time ago, I had a favorite saying. Every time something went wrong, I would say adversity builds character. I wasn't walking with the Lord then, but yet it's true, isn't it? It says that in the Bible. Adversity builds character. Second thing is power for conflict. Are we supposed to fight? Didn't Jesus tell us to turn the other cheek? Well, we're supposed to be, as much as depends on us, we're supposed to be on good terms with everybody, aren't we? But some people make that really difficult. But the power for conflict, there's another side of that too. There's something else. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That tells us two things. It tells us we're really not supposed to fight among ourselves, but we are supposed to fight against the enemy. We're not to sit passively by and do nothing. Just let him have his way in our lives. And he goes on to, Paul goes on to give the armor that we're supposed to wear. Third thing is power for service. Charles Spurgeon said, "Spiritual power is the divine energy God is willing to express in and through us, and the divine authority needed to carry out the work God has called us to do." Has God called us to do a work? Yes, and he gives us the power to do it. If he sends you somewhere to do something or gives you a task to do, he will give you the power to do it. Number four is power to witness. Kind of goes along with power for service, doesn't it? Luke 24:48 and 49, Jesus said, "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." We're supposed to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. That world might be your neighbor next door. It might be Africa. You know, it's up to God where we go, and we need to listen to his voice, and we need to go and be where he wants us to be. The fifth one is power for endurance, power to resist temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Temptation is not a sin. Did you know that? You know, for a long time, I thought that because I was being tempted, and I had those temptations in my mind, that I was sinning. But it's only a sin when we yield to it, when we give in to it. Even Jesus was tempted, but he didn't give in to it. He fought it. He used the word of God. Number six is power for enduring persecutions. Hebrews 12:4 says, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." We may think that we're being persecuted, but there's people in other parts of the world that have it a lot worse than we do. We have it very, very easy here in this country. Someone might say something against us, but that doesn't compare with what other people are going through. At least not yet, right? We haven't resisted unto blood yet. But we see it starting, don't we? We know eventually that's where it's headed. And we need to be aware of that. We need to pray ourselves up, and we need to be strong in the Lord when that starts happening. Of course, some people think we won't be here when the bad stuff really happens. Some people think we will. And as I've said many times, I'm not going to say one way or the other. I'm just going to be ready no matter when it is. He who endures to the end is he who overcomes. Number 7 is power for love and all the other fruits of the Spirit. Once again, Charles Sturgeon says, through the fruit of the Spirit, God's power and only God's power enables us to exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which reveal the character of Christ in us. This enables the world to see Him in us. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, because that's the best witness there is. That's the witness that finally got to me. I saw it in somebody else and I said, I want that. I don't know what it is you have, but I want it, because it was working. And what I had was not working. Number 8, power for growth, development, and maturity. Romans 5, 3-5, after Paul said a lot of good things that would happen, nice things, then he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. It does not disappoint. It won't let us down. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. James 1, 2-4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There's a process going on. God allows us to go through things because He's doing things. He's changing us. Number 9 is power to be anchored in and strengthened by God's love. To anchor in, anchored in. I remember hearing years ago, back when I was in the world, about an Irishman is never drunk as long as he can find a blade of grass to hang on to keep from falling off the face of the earth. But we're all looking for something, aren't we? Something to hang on to. The hope. And God gives it to us with His promise. And His promises are true. And He gives us the power to be anchored in Him through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Number 10 is power to have strength in faith. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts it in us, and He's the one that finishes it, completes it in us. He finishes what He starts, doesn't He? On the cross, what did He say? Among other things, He said, it is finished. He that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the end. Power for effectual, fervent prayer. We read about that in James. Effectual, fervent prayer. It's a prayer of expectation. Do we believe He'll do it? You know, I've had this hindrance before in the past, and sometimes it tries to sneak up on me again. I believe He can do it. But sometimes I wonder if He would do it. Why would He do that for me, I think? But then a better question is, why wouldn't He do it for me? If it's according to His will and according to His purpose and according to His word, He will. See, it's not about me, right? We think it is sometimes. We fall into that trap. Well, it's about me. No, it's about Him. And it's about His glory. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The kingdom, it's His authority. The power, He has the might, the power to do it. And the glory, He has the motivation to do it. Three reasons. That covers everything, doesn't it? Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord, or trust in the Lord, or rest in the Lord. We know Him. We know what He's able to do. We believe what He's going to do. Psalm 138:3. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul, in our innermost being. Strength in the inner man. Psalm 18:32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He shall make your paths straight. Hallelujah. What limits are there? Does God have limitations? No. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Above all we can ask or think. If we can ask it, He can do it. If we can even think it, consider it, He can do it. You know what? That says even if it's more than we can think or ask, He's still able to do it. We got a big God, don't we? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. Not your wants. Unless it happens to be something you need. Ephesians 3:16, once again, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, there it is again, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Riches of His glory, out of His glorious resources, when He opens up heaven and pours it out on you. Ephesians 6:10, once again, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've always believed that the most important word in that verse was the word in. Where we position ourselves. We position ourselves where God wants us to be. We're in His will. We're in His purpose. We're in His word. We're in Him. Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. In. There's victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. It's all a matter of where you are, didn't it? Where we place ourselves. Lord, we thank You for Your word and for the power that You use when You work in us, Lord. Just continue to change us and continue to make us what You want us to be, Lord. Lord, help us to reflect You to everyone we meet. And help us, Lord, to show Your love to everybody. Go with us today, Lord. Be with us and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.